Good morning and welcome. Thank you for being here for the funeral service for Jane Bell Smith. Different ones of us know her in different ways. Church members, friends, associates in so many ways, and family. So as we gather, we want to look for the Lord for grace. We want to thank the Lord for the wonderful life of Jane Smith and how she has touched our lives, and we want to look to the Lord for comfort. As we begin, let me just mention a few things. We are, socially distancing, as you can tell, but some are watching us on the live webcast. That's one of the blessings that's come through this virus thing, is we've learned how to make that happen. And so a special welcome to the folks at Traditions. I understand that they've opened up the theater and are watching there, as well as some from their homes. And I'll mention, too, it's our plan to archive this service, and you'll find it at our website, just so I know some have already said, really couldn't make it, but that will be such a help to them. So just some of those little details that you might find interesting. And, again, welcome to you who are here by way of the webcast. I'll just say to the Traditions folks, you've been great neighbors to this family. And I thank you for that. Guest book, please, is in the back in different places. Make sure you sign and acknowledge your presence. There are also some memory cards. Now, when I think of memory card, that's something I have a memory card here my wife gave me so I can remember things. That's not what we mean. This memory card is a memory of Jane that you would like to share. So if you would... they're back, available in the back. You could write a thought and drop it in the box there. The family will appreciate that. Also, let me mention that there will be a lunch to follow after the service, and you are all invited to that. Following the lunch, there will be a travel down to the cemetery in Ennis. So just so you're aware of what's going forward. I wrote myself a note that I think I'm going to mention later as well, but some of you said, oh, these are pretty facilities. The decor that you see around you has Jane Smith's signature all over it. When we started the church, we were in a much simpler, smaller church, no parking. By God's grace, we were given these facilities, but they had suffered 20 years of benign neglect. Jane's one of the most brilliant things I've done is I thought of, let's have Jane Smith as head of the aesthetics committee. And she took it with a passion. And she brought that Jane Smith excellence. And so I just, as you're looking around, this to me, I think of Jane Smith so often when I just look around, her sense of beauty and class is so visible. I want to pray as we begin, but even before we pray, I would just like to share a couple of scriptures that we at a time like this, we want to go to God's word. And one of the passages one of the last passages I shared with Jane before she entered into the Lord's presence was from John chapter 14, the familiar verses you might remember as our Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples in the upper room the night before he died. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And poor old doubting Thomas asked, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." As I shared those words with Jane, I reminded her there was a prepared place waiting for her. Another psalm that speaks of God's glory, a scripture, I should say, is Psalm 100, and think of it in terms of Jane's entrance into the Lord's presence as I read. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Oh, that is so rich with truth. But I think of Jane entering into his presence with thanksgiving. We'll talk more about this, but she was so ready and so eager to be in the presence of the Lord. So you will see me smiling a lot today. I am so grateful for having known Jane. And I'm so grateful that her greatest prayer has been answered. She is in his presence. And so I'm rejoicing for her and weeping for us. But we'll rejoice for Jane. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our time. Our Father, we do come with grateful hearts. We are grateful for how our lives have been touched by Jane, a dear friend, a fellow servant in church ministry, a mother, a sister, a Mimi, a beloved wife and life partner. Father, you blessed us richly in Jane. And I know she would say, to God be the glory. We thank you for leading her to yourself in saving faith. We thank you for her love for you. We thank you that she is with you right now. And we rejoice for her and with her. But Father, as we now come, we do ask, do fill our hearts with joyful remembrances, confident assurances. And Father, comfort our hearts, for in her great gain we have suffered loss. May we know your presence and strength in this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a song together. We're going to stand and sing In Christ Alone.
Would you stand with us as we sing together, In Christ Alone.
I'd like to share with you the obituary, if you will, of Jane Smith that tells her so much of her story well. It's fuller than the account you have in front of you in the bulletin. Jane was born on August 7th, 1932, to Fanny Kate Wright Bell and Ward H. Bell in Alma, Texas. She was named Jane by Fanny Kate because it was the most beautiful name she'd ever heard. 14 months later, her sister Peggy was born to the couple. Peggy had a beautiful mother in Fanny Kate and an equally good second mother in Jane. Tragedy struck when Ward was killed in a train accident at work while he was unloading lumber from a rail car. Suddenly, Fanny Kate was a single parent to a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old and looked for work to support her family. She went to work for Ennis Tag and Sales Book Company, which eventually became Ennis Business Forms. Most of her brothers and sisters also worked for Ennis Tag. Jane and Peggy went to live on the farm of her grandparents, Mama and Papa, for the next 10 years and were inseparable. She lived with many aunts and uncles and still living on the farm and forged great relationships as if they were older brothers and sisters. Fanny Kate would come to the farm on the weekends but would live in Ennis during the week. When Jane began elementary school, Peggy became so distraught that eventually they allowed Peggy to come to school with Jane, even though she was not old enough. As the story goes, Peggy slept through much of Jane's first school year. I could say something about many students who sleep, but we won't. Through the years, Jane excelled in her studies, and when entering Ennis High School, Jane, Peggy, and Fanny Kate moved to Ennis. She was involved in church and school, playing clarinet in the marching band. Jane graduated school at 16 years old as the salutatorian of her 1949 Ennis High School class. Following graduation, she worked and waited a year for Peggy to graduate and then moved to the big city of Dallas with her aunt, Mary, and Uncle Gregory. There they both got jobs, enjoying Dallas. While Jane was working as a telephone operator, a handsome salesman called on the Link Belt Company. Eventually, Clayton Choice Smith got a date with Jane. In his words, she was vivacious, high energy, and a lot of fun. She was smitten. They dated for about 7 months before he popped the question while they were at White Rock Lake, Dallas. They were married December 12, 1953 at the First Christian Church in Ennis and honeymooned at Lake Murray, Oklahoma. Their first married years were filled with work, friends, family, and Cassiview Christian Church. Both Choice and Jane were very thrifty and were able to purchase their first home in East Dallas on Mayhew Drive. They welcomed Gregory Choice on February 4, 1957, and Nancy Jane on May 25, 1959. Jane immediately became a stay-at-home mom, entirely focused on home and family. She was a devoted wife and mother. One of her trips to the grocery store, Jane and Nancy would meet Nancy Housewright. Mrs. Housewright commented on Nancy's pink corduroy bonnet and matching coat, and the conversation began a lifetime of deep friendship. They moved to Lake Highlands within a block of each other, attending the same church, scouts, and school. During the early years in Lake Highlands, 8 couples bonded in deep friendship, some from the neighborhood, some from church, which included the Housewrights, Baileys, Steeles, Odoms, Oldfields, Bonds, Boyds, and Kellys. They would play bridge once a month on a Friday night, and the December bridge game was celebrated on New Year's Eve. They would eventually continue this bridge club for more than 50 years. Each summer, Jane and Choice made time to travel to a cooler climate near Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I always thought they were smart. There, the family stayed for almost a month in a ruggedly rustic cabin that Choice's business partner owned. Here, the family was molded together with a love of outdoors and horse training, horseback riding, fishing, and especially quiet time together. This would be a yearly trip to the cabin for 20-plus summers and more trips in their motorhome. When Greg and Nancy became school-age, Jane took classes at El Centro and was involved in women's Bible study, deepening her faith. For several years, she was teaching Bible study to women in Ennis, Texas. With her good friend, Jean Medenick, they drove to Ennis from Dallas weekly to teach. Fanny Kate and many of her friends were students in those classes. Jane and Choice were always committed to the success of each family member. Bill Smith, Choice's younger brother, needed a place to stay one semester while he was attending Texas A&M University. I paused for a moment in case there was any sounds that would emanate. He bunked with Greg during that time. Jane drove Bill around the neighborhood to find a job and landed on a service station job before going back to A&M and earning the dean's list. Jane and Choice were always championing the educational success of their brothers and sisters, children, and grandchildren. Following graduation from Texas A&M, Greg married Beth Johns in 1981 and had Clayton Choice in 1983 and Kyle Jackson in 1986. While Jane would hold Clay on her shoulder and on her lap, she would say, "I am your grandmother. I am your grandmother." And Clay answered, "Mimi." She would be known as Mimi with all of the grandchildren. Nancy also graduated from Texas A&M University, had Lindsay Jane in 1990 and William Roy in 1996 after marrying Robert Baker. Jane was devoted to her grandchildren in tangible ways. She developed Cousins Camp and named herself as camp director. They all went camping in their motorhome, visiting Tyler State Park and swimming in the lake each summer. To say she loved to travel would be an understatement. She was a planner. She took 2 years of planning, research, and working part-time at Choice's business to take her first trip to Europe in 1972. This is before the internet, and research was a little more difficult. There was another family Europe trip in 1974. For the next 30 years, she would plan trips and cruises to Spain, Austria, Germany, Ireland, England, Australia, New Zealand, Israel, Egypt. With Choice and with traveling couple friends such as Rosemary and Lewis Howard, she documented each of these trips with a book she self-published. Many of these books are on the reception table over there. Jane loved the church and shared her faith with anyone and usually everyone. She was an active member of Castleview Christian Church, then Schofield Church. It was here that her Sunday school class planned for a church plant in Terrell, Texas. Terrell Bible Church was formed. Jane Smith knew she had lived a wonderful life with Choice and her family and said so during her last days. Jane Smith is survived by her husband, Clayton Choice Smith, her son, Gregory Choice Smith, his wife, Elizabeth Ann Smith, their children, Clayton Choice Smith, his wife, Allison Smith, Kyle Jackson Smith, Jane's daughter, Nancy Jane Baker, her husband, Robert Bruce Baker, their children, Lindsay Jane McMullen, her husband, Brent McMullen, and William Roy Baker. Jane is also survived by two great-grandchildren, Sanders Choice Smith and Clayton Champ Smith. That doesn't do her justice. A rich and full life. At this time, we're going to be blessed by having some words from grandchildren that will speak of their Mimi. First, I believe, will be Lindsay.
Thank you for teaching us the art of a thank you note. This is your ultimate thank you note. Thank you for always taking our call or giving back to us immediately. I love just talking with you and catching up. I love that you always ended our calls with "I love you." You wouldn't get off until we exchanged those words. Thank you for leaving a voicemail when we missed your call. I will be cherishing those when I just need to hear your voice. Thank you for letting us pop in for lunch or dinner on any random day. I really cherish the random Chick-fil-A, White Rock Coffee, or Tradition Meals on a free day. Thank you for the wonderful trips that we have taken us on over the years and sharing your love of travel. I will cherish the memories that we have made from our cousins' camps, Mimi's camps, family camps, and Mimi and Lindsay trips. I love that we could take trips together as I got older. Everyone that we met along the way thought it was so cool that we had grandmother-granddaughter trips, and I think it was pretty cool, too. I love that you would say that I am your favorite granddaughter, even though I was the only. Thank you for letting us stay over at your house when we were younger, or not so young. Thank you for making waffles in the morning. There's nothing like fresh homemade waffles. They're always a special treat. Thank you for teaching us how to make your oatmeal cookies. We'll sure to make some of them crunchy, just like you like them. Thank you for taking the time to teach us how to make your famous Christmas bread. We will be sure to continue the tradition and make sure not to put raisins in the loaves. Thank you for writing down all of your recipes so that we can make all your famous dishes. I know that it was so important for you to share these with your friends and family. Thank you for slowly unwrapping every gift and trying to save the wrapping paper and tissue paper. I now see that I'm doing the same thing. There is an art and a reason to unwrapping the gift. Thank you for trying to guess what the gift is for someone else at Christmas. Over the last few years, it was hilarious because you would guess the gift before it was opened. Thank you for teaching me how to knit. While I'm never going to be as good as you, I'm glad that we could share this skill. We are so lucky to have such beautiful Christmas stockings to hold on to. Thank you for researching over many years our family history and sharing those stories with us. We are so thankful to know where we came from and our relatives' past. Thank you for showing us that family is always the number one priority. I'm so glad I got to spend this last week with you and talking with you about our special memories. I will cherish that time always. Thank you for encouraging us to strive to follow God's plan for our lives. I know that you are so proud of your family and what they are doing. Thank you for knowing our friends and keeping up with their lives. They always appreciate your prayers and concern. Thank you for sharing your love of shopping. I love that you were always interested in what we were getting with our birthday or Christmas money. You taught me to never buy anything at full price. Thank you for showing us what it is like to have a long and God-centered marriage. I look to your marriage as evidence of God's great design. Thank you for showing us what it was to be a strong and godly woman. We all know how strong you are physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Thank you for praying for us every day. As you would say on the phone, goodbye for now. We love you, Mimi.
And now Kyle Smith.
Hi, my name is Kyle Smith. I'm one of the four grandchildren. I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for coming out today to celebrate my grandmother Jane Smith's life. She was such a kind and loving person. She would do anything for anybody, no matter if it were a family or just a random person that she met. She had the heart the size of Texas, and it truly showed in every aspect of what she did. Growing up with Mimi and Granddad was awesome. They took us on during the summer to some of the coolest places. Starting as a young kid, they took us to state parks and all around Texas in their Pace Aero motorhome. That thing was great. We got to spend a lot of quality time together. Mimi would cook for 4 to 6 of us every night in a kitchen that was tiny. She did it with a smile, and man, she loved to cook. We would have picnics every day outside at a different location. Once we got a few years older, they started taking us to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Man, that was really neat getting to spend time in God's country with her and Granddad. We got to visit the Grand Teton Mountains and the Yellowstone National Park. We got to see Old Faithful, and we even once went skiing. Uncle Bob took a huge fall and decided that he would retire from skiing that year. We went to a real dude ranch for a week, and the only means of transportation were horses. Boy, us city slickers got a taste of what it's like to live in the country. We always spent the holidays at Mimi and Granddad's house in Rockwall, Texas. Granddad always made the best fires in his giant fireplace with wood that he cut down from his pastures. The fires would get so hot that sometimes our Christmas sweaters would start smoking. True story. Mimi would always cook us the best food and desserts. The entire family would sit around their dining room table, which eventually got a little too small for everyone, so I would volunteer to refill everyone's drinks to make some room at the table when they were running low. Yeah, I was not doing that just to be nice. I was actually going to the kitchen table where Mimi displayed all her desserts, and I was sneaking and eating some of her homemade oatmeal cookies. She would make several dozens of them, and by the time it was actually time for dessert, 8 to 10 cookies were missing. She made the world's best oatmeal cookies. Holy moly. Mimi was very involved with her church, and she instilled all her godly values in myself, my older brother Clay, as well as Lindsay and Will. When we would spend the weekends at their house, they would take us to their church on Sundays. It was truly neat to see that they knew pretty much every single soul personally. Mimi had a relationship with Jesus Christ that was so very strong. Towards the end of her fight with cancer, she told me that she was ready to go home and be with her Savior. Not too many people have that strong of faith like she did. It was truly amazing. And Granddad, thank you so much for burying Mimi on December 12th, 1953. It was the best decision of your life. Thank you all for coming today, and God bless you.
Just for clarification, that was not her favorite granddaughter. And now I'd like to read some notes from Clay. Dear Mimi, we love you. You are going to be so missed. I know you are at peace and ready to go, but it does not make it any easier. You were always grounded and an incredible grandparent. You always made the grandchildren feel like the most important people in the world. Have we been picking up on that theme? You always had activities planned when we came to visit and loved to show kids new experiences. Granddad even let me drive his truck on the farm when I was about 10. Not too sure if you were happy about that. Mimi also raised my father, Greg, a great example of what type of dad to aspire to become. Mimi loved to travel. She was genuinely interested in other people and places. From long summers in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, to trips to Europe and locally around Texas in their motorhome, Mimi and Granddad also loved going on cruises and took the whole family on one in the late 90s. She came to my elementary school and did an hour slideshow presentation about Australia with her own photos and slides. Mimi was a great historian. She always had a camera and a journal ready. She took tons of photos on their trips and wrote down special notes from every day so she could remember and tell others. She made some incredible travel books that are still on our coffee table to this day. Above all, Mimi was a genuine and caring person. I know she's watching this now from heaven. We spoke just 1 week ago on FaceTime, and she had some rough weeks recently, but still asked about my son, Sanders, and saw him riding his scooter. Mimi just recently selflessly helped make a family tree book while she was not in good health, demonstrating how she always cared for others. You always asked about my pregnant wife, Allison, and the upcoming birth of our baby girl, Margaret Eloise. We love you, Mimi. We will miss you, Mimi. And we will see you one day in heaven. Family, certainly. I'm so grateful that each of you grandchildren shared those thoughts because we all saw her love for you. We really did. We're now going to be blessed with a special song that was requested by Jane some time ago from J. Lloyd Smith by video. So let's enjoy him singing.
Oh.
Message and beautifully done, and I can understand why Jane wanted to have that. I've had the privilege of knowing Jane and Choice back in our days at Schofield Memorial Church together in the Maranatha Sunday School class. I was the part-time or substitute teacher whenever John Hanna was out. One time John Hanna approached me and said some of the church were thinking about starting a church. Some of this class were thinking about starting a church in Terrell, Texas, of which I had not heard, and the town, I mean. And he said, would you be interested in being the pastor of this plant? Barb and I were fairly newly married and part of things there, and I was finishing my part of my program at the seminary, and so we prayed about it, but I said, can you tell me who's involved? And he said, two couples right now, Tip and Nancy Housewright, and Choice and Jane Smith. Well, through the Sunday school class, I could say I knew them both. And frankly, when I thought, if those four people are the core, that gave me great confidence that this would be a ministry that would go forward. And so I said yes, and they said yes, and that's how we came to know each other. That was some 36 years ago. And over those years, I've had the privilege of knowing and serving alongside Choice and Jane, and how that has blessed me and my family and this church. So that's how I know them. And I often think at times like this, each of you know them from different snippets of their life. The grandchildren have visited, and so they know Terrell Bible Church in that way, but they've seen things I haven't. They didn't once invite me to Europe or Australia, but I'm forgiving. As I thought about Jane, honestly, it's hard to say, hard to put her into a package, if you will. Jane is so multi-talented, so multi-interested. And the more I thought about her, I thought about the familiar text at the end of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31 speaks of the virtuous woman. The woman of great character. And as you read through that description, I remember I've had women tell me they always dread if that's going to be the Mother's Day message because it exhausts them to read what that woman is like. And yet, the more I thought about it, there's Jane. Who could find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a description of a woman who was a treasure to her family. I won't even read all those verses, but I want to take out portions that really reminded me of as I thought about Jane and how that fit. This woman, she describes, she stretches, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Jane was not afraid of hard work. We saw that here on church work days, you know, the laboring there in the kitchen, the laboring in so many areas. Jane was a worker. I saw her, as I said, at work days at church, I saw her working to make her home a place of beauty and warmth and welcome. And she wanted that same for this church as she headed up that aesthetics committee. Oh, she put in hours and hours of work and effort, and they took field trips, and she put together notebooks and planned meetings, and she put in such labor. I was struck by the phrase of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. I remember when Jane and Trace came back from a trip to the UK. Did you go to Scotland? Was that included? She was so excited about some yarn, Scottish wool yarn. I confess, I probably didn't quite share her level of excitement. But she was thrilled because it was so special to get this yarn from this place. And, you know, she loved that knitting. And so she valued the quality of that yarn. And so she seeks wool and flax. You know, Jane was intentional. She loved to knit. She was going to get that yarn from that country. Amazing. She was meticulous in her research, whether it be trip planning, genealogy, and more. I remember trip planning one time. She told Barb and me that she had a surprise trip planned for Choice. And all he knew was when he needed to be ready and some bare description of what he had to pack. That's all. And off she went because she had it all put together. And I'm sure it worked out, every detail worked out perfectly. That was Jane. Loved her, you know, her genealogical research. And she would talk about things. One time, my wife Barb is from New England, near Springfield, Massachusetts. Oh, Jane was so excited. She found one of her relatives back in, I think, the 1600s, was a Puritan pastor in Western, right near Springfield, Massachusetts. And she was a meticulous and loved that sort of thing. I teased Nancy and said, why don't you just read through her journals to get ready, her diaries. Jane was so meticulous in her diaries. I remember once in a while we would get, maybe on a special occasion, she would send along a card and she would write out quotes of conversations that I'd forgotten. But she remembered because she wrote them down. And so she probably had, I don't know if she had it indexed or what, she was able to pull out and write out the quote of a conversation. She was continuously had an active mind. She was constantly reading, and we'd talk about books, and or I'd find a book, an article, and I'd send an interest to them. Constantly learning. She was a devoted student of the Scriptures, one of the in the last week or two, she made a point of saying thank you for the joy of learning so much while she was here at Terra Bible Church. She was active in ministries in the church, wanted it to be a place of warm welcome, like her own home. Very much involved in hospitality, had things at her home. She was one of the greeters, loved to welcome people, and Alice felt we were putting our best foot forward when Choice and Jane were meeting people at the door. She was, do I need to mention this? Family oriented. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She watches, verse 27, over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Can I add grandchildren to that? I think we've heard that today. And her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. We've heard it, but I heard it too before. How she loves you. Children. Grandchildren. We heard that just from her talking about you. And how she would be excited and tell us about the things going on in your lives. How she would tell us about things she was praying about for you. Her love for you is astonishing. The camps, we heard, her excitement for these cousins' camps and the trips. Just amazing, the continuous, loving, prayerful interest in all of you. And again, I'm not telling you anything new. You would tell me. I don't know half of it. Her love for her mother. Delighted in her mother. Was happy to bring her to church and care in her life. We got some clues about that love for that sister. Taking her to school in first grade. Now that was a new one to me. But her love for Peggy and just constant. Her love for her family. It goes further back. Her love for her ancestors. That's that genealogy again. She got excited when she learned things about these people that are long gone. Nancy says of her mother, she modeled selfless behavior. She thought of everyone, not of herself. She was very close to her mother, grandmother Fanny Kate, and was always at our family holiday gatherings. Grandmother was quiet and kind, and mother always wanted to be like her. She lived for 94 and a half years and died in 2003. Mother, at age 88, only lived 17 years without her mother. What a kindness from the Lord. And then there's her love for Choice. These two truly are life partners. In business, working alongside in business, in travel, in the home, in ministry, in the church, in caring for the family, in delighting together in building relationships with the Fensit traditions, and excited in new friends, and again, sharing books and other things. They were a team in all the areas of their life. And I have to say thank you, Choice and Jane, for being an example to us. And that's the sort of thing, when we were starting this church, to have an example couple like that. What a help and what a blessing, because, you know, we read our Bibles, we study our Bibles, we seek the Lord, but it sure does help when you see it in action, doesn't it? Choice and Jane, thank you for that, for showing us marriage. You've been blessed to have Choice. You've been blessed to have Jane. And she's blessed to have had you. I cannot think of Jane without Choice, or Choice without Jane. Verse 26 says, this woman that's beyond value, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. Kindness. Doesn't that sound like Jane? Just her voice was kind. Calm, reassuring, gentle. Always a word of encouragement, a word of joy, a word of gratitude. She was a source of wisdom. Jane loved to teach women how to study the Bible. She was very active in our women's ministry. She had a real heart for that. And she had a real heart for mentoring the younger women, teaching them some of those things like the cooking, like the grandchildren talk about, the teaching them hospitality, modeling it for them, bringing them to her home and showing how it was done. She had that. She opens her mouth with wisdom, the Proverbs woman, and Jane, it's true. She was a radiant example to others. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Jane was a woman of faith, like this woman of value. She fears the Lord. Now, when I say, when we hear the word fears the Lord, that's sometimes an older term. It doesn't mean she's afraid of the Lord. It means she honors him. She reveres him. She submits to him. She loves him. In Proverbs 31, that faith in the Lord is the source of the character of this woman whose value is beyond rubies. And it's also Jane's trust in the Lord that is the root, the ground of the living well that gives forth the fruit of who she is. Jane was living out her fruit in every relationship in her life. Jane told me how she came to trust Christ as her Savior. She said a Baptist church pastor came to their church in Alma. He explained we are all sinners and separated from God by our sin, and that Christ died for our sin on the cross, offered himself as a sacrifice for our sin, and offered and called all to trust in him, offering forgiveness and eternal life. Well, as this pastor preached the message of the gospel, Jane's the eyes of her heart were opened, and she saw she did need the forgiveness of Christ, and she did need to know him as Savior. And so what she tells us is, and maybe we can ask Peggy to confirm this later, she took Peggy's hand and went forward and said, I want to trust Christ as Savior. Jane made it clear, by the way, as she was down there talking to the pastor, that she wanted to trust Christ as Savior, but not join the church. Her mother already had a church. That's just Jane, just straight up, straight shooting, even as a child. She knew what she wanted. She definitely wanted the gift of salvation, but she knew where she would be going to church. Even in her closing days, Jane was eager to tell other people of her love of Christ. You know, I might think about each and every one of you who know Jane in some way. Does it surprise you to know that she was an active Christian? It was so much a part of who she is. And so she was eager to tell others about Christ. Even in her closing days, she was saying, the attendants that were helping her, the people taking her blood, Jane would tell them what a joy it was to be a daughter of God. That she was a child of God, was excited about that, and was hoping they too knew Christ in that way. And so because of her faith, Jane is a woman at home with the Lord right now. A few hours before she entered into glory, Barb and I had a chance to visit with Jane, and I read some scriptures and talked with her about heaven. I mentioned the John 14 passage. And the last scripture I read to her is that familiar text of the Shepherd's Song. Such familiar words. May I read it again to you and then tell you something of what I shared with her. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every word of that psalm is precious. The first part talks about the Lord as a gentle, caring, guiding, protecting shepherd. The last couple of verses talk about the Lord as a host. And as I read those words, I thought, and I am speaking to the great hostess. And so I just mentioned to Jane how she's been a hostess all her life, and we've all savored to be at her table. She's now going to be at the Lord's table with the Lord as her host. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jane, right now, is in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, the phrase, expression he uses, when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord, right at that moment. Early that Saturday morning, when Jane's body failed, Jane was instantly ushered into the presence of the Lord. And I like to think about the fact, and never more alive. Vibrant with energy. Now Jane was a vibrant woman, but especially in these last days in her weakness, overwhelmed with life in the presence of her host, the Lord, welcoming her home. About a week or 10 days before her homegoing, I was talking with Joyce, and she said over the phone, "Drake, I am ready." And she meant that. Perhaps she said something like that to you. She was so ready to be in the presence of the Lord. And she said more than once, "You know, you have to die to get to heaven." There's a lot of wisdom in that. And so she looked. She realized death is part of the package. And so I want to get to heaven, so I'm going to have to die. And her heart was so set on heaven. With joy and confident assurance. And that confident assurance, again, is not because she made the best Christmas bread. We've had that delivered at our home. Or caramel corn, or oatmeal cookies, or whatever it may be, or because she was so loving and kind. Her confident assurance is grounded in the fact that Jesus Christ died for her sins. And at a young age, she gave her life to Him and received the gift of salvation. And so, very naturally, as she's lived with Him all her life, as her body failed, she continued to live with the Lord and is now in His presence. Nancy expressed it well. "I'm rejoicing that she is with the Lord and Savior in heaven for eternity. And I will join her one day." What a wonderful day that will be. I miss her so much already. The tears seem to flow like a river. You all know how much Jane loved you. And I have to be very clear. Jane made it clear to me that I make clear to you to understand that her joy in heaven is available to you too, if you will trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. She loves Jesus Christ, was eager to get home. And as much as she loves each of you, if possible, you would make heaven richer with your arrival there. And so I encourage you to know the Savior who changed Jane's life and filled her life. Trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, as Jane did. Jane would certainly say what we're going to sing together as she thinks of her walk with the Lord. "Great is thy faithfulness."
Would you stand again as we sing together, "Great is thy faithfulness"?
standing as I'll pray. But just before we do, let me mention that everyone is invited to a lunch that is to follow in the gym. You can go out that door and kind of follow down the path, and there'll be a special area where main table and a couple tables for the family. So you have an opportunity to drop by and visit with them if you like. So there'll be opportunities to visit with the family, and then in about an hour or so, hour and a half, there'll be the departure for the graveside, which will be at 3 o'clock in Ennis at the Myrtle Cemetery. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life, the love of James Smith. Father, our lives are so much richer because of her and how she has shown us what it means to live as a Christian woman who loves you and follows you. Father, I pray your comfort and grace for each of us, and especially this dear family, dearly loved, dearly missing one who is with you. Father, I join with Jane's heart, and I do pray for each one here, that they might share in the faith of Jesus Christ, that they might know you as she did, and so have that home and hope of heaven as she does. Father, as we go from this place, go with us. Bless the meal we're about to receive. Bless this food. Bless our fellowship together. And commit us as we go from this place. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.